Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to These Odd Days for Lives and Friends. This week we'll be discussing what happened in the last week of the show, and we are discussing spoilers that are upcoming, so if you don't like to hear spoilers, you're going to have to hit mute a few times. So, Paul was, well, it's true, but I mean, there's so little to talk about this week that we're going to talk about the Nicole spoiler, and that might involve swearing and yelling.
Yeah.
So, if you don't want to hear ladies,
turn your volume
children,
down.
Turn your volume down. Get the children out of the room. Put on your earphones.
They might be crying too.
Let's not go that far.
And screaming and yelling.
Yes,
and swearing,
pleading. Yeah. So, follow us daily on the blog, davidsforlives.blogspot.com. Ooh, that reminds me, there was a juicy story that came out today about Marlene McPherson.
I read it on the blog, yeah.
About what?
Yeah,
interesting.
The former Gateshead writer, Marlene McPherson, who just got fired this past spring, sent a letter from her attorney threatening at Source Ryan at TV Source, and she completely misinterpreted a tweet he did, and she's claiming he... basically saying that she's responsible for the ratings going down and that her stories are ending now. And that's not what he said. He was referring to Nicole's pregnancy ending, and that would be the last of the stories that she wrote.
Mm.
Not that she wrote Nicole's pregnancy ending. It just
right.
said she's the one who started, she ones who wrote the pregnancy in the first place. So,
yeah.
and he never
and
said
so
that
these
on the
writers
website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was bashing really Whitesell and Tomlin for the bad writing and the bad ratings. He wasn't saying anything about Marlene at all. And it was
where
like
did it pop
first,
up that Marlene was gonna? Where did it pop up about Marlene though?
About her going to sue. They actually put the text of the legal document on their website.
Whoa.
Yeah, and their response to it.
Oh, okay.
Such egos. The egos of writers are unbelievable, aren't they?
Yeah. And,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
if you don't
yeah.
want to read bad stuff about yourself on the Internet, then unplug. And the thing
I
is,
mean,
is
they're,
you
all just, they're all disgusting. I just, it's so, just, you know, with these writers. They come in, they change, they make characters, you know, if they, you know, write for their own characters. And then if they don't like that character, they get rid of. They just don't continue stories like they should.
Yeah.
The problem is they change writers too many damn times and producers.
Yeah,
sure. That, problem with soaps, period,
right.
I think.
And
yeah.
then you
yeah.
have a wind down and a startup period, and you lose people. Mm-hmm. Well, you lose
yeah.
people when you have that wind down and startup period because everyone has stopped investing in the stories that they know are going to go away because they know the new writers are going to ruin them. And then the startup is so slow with the new one sometimes that it's just like, you feel like, why invest?
And when you're 4 months ahead, that doesn't help either.
Yeah, and the
yeah.
show, I used to defend Tomlin for that when he was executive VP. I used to defend him for that when it was, you know, 2.5 months ahead, you know, because I was like, well, if it's allowing them to save money to do eight episodes a week and shut down once a month for a week,
not
a you know, okay, fine, you know, I can support that because of that. But it's ridiculous now because...
Mm-hmm.
I know back in 2009, I was there, I was on the set on November 5th, 2009, and they were taping the Christmas Eve episodes. So, you know, that's like six,
that's
7
about
weeks
That's about what GH
maybe.
Is doing now.
That's about seven
that.
Weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include, too, that they were going to be shut down for 2 weeks at Christmas and all that, you know, so... So they were about 7 weeks ahead, and they were, you know, really probably 5 weeks, but 7 weeks because of the shutdown at Christmas, you know, planning ahead kind of thing. So, okay, fine. That makes sense. But it's ridiculous now. It is absolute. They're taping into January now. I mean, there's no way for them to be, you know, able to adapt story and respond to audience, you know. And I think that goes to the ego, too. Like you were talking about, Marianne, the egos of these writers. Mm-hmm. It's like they're so egotistical, apparently, that, you know, I'm sure the story will, you know, it'll redeem itself, you know, down the road. If we listen to every fan who had a problem with it and changed course every time fans bitched about it, then we'd never have we'd never get anything done. You know, I'm sure from their standpoint that's how they look at it, but, you know, it's like if you know something sucks and it sucks bad and it's going to taint the show, there's nothing you can do about it for 4 months. And further, the audience knows. I mean, back in the day, you know, we had Sherry Anderson on and she said they were only a couple weeks ahead and they would watch the show. They would actually watch their own show and they could start doing rewrites the minute they realized something was sucking. And, you know, that's one thing. It's a whole different environment now, and I don't even know if the writers watch the show now. But it's like, but back then, you know, we were oblivious. It's a different world now. I mean, back then, did any of us know how far in advance they were taping or what they were doing? No. We didn't know any of that because, you know, the only thing we got was...
I didn't understand how it worked at all.
The only thing we knew about was what Soap Opera Digest or Soap Opera Weekly told us or some of the other soap mags, and that's all we knew about, you know? So we didn't have the internet back then. So it's like it is a different world now, but the fact that we all know that they've got 4 months in the can already, it's like it just defeats your fan base when you know that and you know, gosh, I gotta endure 4 months of Melanie saying goodbye. Great. You know, wonderful.
She's gone now. She's done, right?
I like the actress. I like the character, but it's like we knew months ago she was leaving, and they've dragged this story out for 4 or 5 months now, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, seriously.
Yeah, but then now they're trying to shove Rafe and Sammy down our throats again.
Oh gosh,
Jennifer and Daniel. Yeah. I mean, we're back to that again.
And Rafe is the superhero because he's sacrificing his love for Sammy for his sister now.
Seriously, Rafe, let her go to jail. I love that EJ has something on him though. I just love it. I love that EJ has something on him now.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and Gabby, she should pay. You know, I hope she.
Yeah, why doesn't she go to jail? Well, okay.
Yeah, really. And now all of a sudden, Chad's the bad guy. Like Chad said something. He said Nick did this, and you know, stalked, and so did, and Gabby did this, and now Melanie is more mad at Chad, it seems, than she is at Gabby or Nick, which is kind of weird. But I don't know. I mean, Chad was just trying to protect her. You know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, Danielle, I love how they make it so that she can leave. It's like, come on, why don't we make things a little more realistic?
Well, you had to have a way of breaking them up. I know that because she was leaving. Yeah, that was their way of
breaking them up. And I can understand that, but I would almost rather it had been because of the lies or something or that he did something as a demira. Like, they could have had him do something really bad as a demira.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
the guy to a pulp that kidnapped her fiancé and terrorized him and that you know is still terrorized this day. I honestly was like, go for it, Chad. You know, and I like Nick, but, you know, go for it, you know?
I didn't think it was that bad what he did. I mean,
his motivation was understandable, and so it just makes her look stupid and it dumbs down things for the audience. For us, all of a sudden, we now have to buy that instead of him being a hero like he would have been in the 80s if that had happened, he's now this evil guy.
If Bo would have done that in defense of Hope, that would have been different.
Oh, yeah, we would have been cheering him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I hate that they've written it that way. I mean, I know they had to break him up, but it's like they could have even had Carly have some illness or something and then Melanie felt like
he had to go away
or something. I don't know. But... And I mean, I guess Gabby and Nick are okay. I mean, I don't know if I care. I mean, they're kind of
loony.
Cute. I mean, they, you know, but I don't know. Maybe he can help her. Maybe he can help Gabby be more interesting. I don't know. Well,
yeah.
We'll see.
I want to get back to the Marlene thing. I just don't understand the concept of threatening to sue a guy who they're saying posted on his personal Twitter stuff that just about Nicole's pregnancy ending, and from that she, I don't even know exactly what she, I guess there, it was defamation and libel. And I don't,
that was a fictional character he was talking about in a fictional in a show. It's like, I think
I think she's saying that he said that she's responsible for the ratings going down.
Wasn't even used. Yeah, that's the thing. Her name didn't appear in the tweet, I don't think.
No, he said something like
the old writer's
stories stories wrapping up. But still, even if he did say flat out she is responsible for the ratings going down, that's still not libelous or defamation of character.
My thing is, if you're going to call your attorney and you're going to sick him on somebody, somebody in the soap world or whatever, anybody, you know, maybe you should go read their entire, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I really shouldn't speak to it, I guess, but, you know, go and read their entire feed and maybe ask them about it. And so, I mean, I understand trying to protect your reputation and all that, and I can understand getting upset, but if you see one tweet, I mean, it's 140 characters or less, come on, go read the context, go read the history. And, I mean, honestly, I liked Marlene, so I'm not, like, trying to bash her, but it seems like she pulled the trigger awfully fast on this without really looking into it more. Or maybe, honestly, maybe it was a ploy to get attention, to draw attention to the fact that if we hate Nicole's baby, well, what we think is going to come up with that, that perhaps maybe she wanted to draw attention to the fact that she wouldn't have done that. You know? I don't know.
That's not
the thing.
Really,
one writer starts a story, and then, it's got a little bit much there.
I mean, yeah, I think that's a stretch. I mean, I prefer Marlene Darrell over Tomlin White Sunny Day of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of any writer threatening to sue over a tweet that was taken out of context.
That's almost like are we going to all have to worry if we tweet something that's an opinion of ours that, you know, someone's going to try to sue us? That's ridiculous. I mean, granted, you know, maybe he's in a different situation, you know, I don't know, but it's like, read the whole context, first of all. It's not what he was saying, so if she'd gone back and read everything, maybe that would have helped, but, you know, I don't know. That just sounds so weird. The only thing I can think of is that maybe she was trying to draw attention to this whole bigger picture that, you know, maybe she was using that tweet as a basis to draw attention to the fact that she really didn't intend for this to go this way for Nicole, and that she really wasn't responsible for this BS. I don't know. Most of the people that she should know, that most of us in this sort of little soap world, we know when their writing stopped. I mean, it was very obvious because suddenly everything's about race again, and, you know, it was very obvious the week that it turned to the new writers. So, you know, I don't know. It seems very frivolous to me, even though I did like what she did, and I feel for her because I think she was really screwed by NBC, but, you know, weird.
So here we got on the blog, DivaDataLives.blogspot.com. We have a link to TV sources.
Check it out.
Comments. Yeah, and follow me on Twitter, unless you're going to sue me. If you're going to sue me, don't follow me, at Diva Abdul.
Sue Mama Hooch or Cozy Hooch either.
So I might say something that might hurt your feelings. You know,
that's what I'm here for.
I was just tweeting about SpongeBob a couple minutes ago, so I better watch out. SpongeBob's gonna, he's gonna get the lawyers on me.
So stay off of Twitter if you don't like what we say.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I'm on Facebook, so stay off of Facebook. Diva Day's friend page, if you want to be friends with me, or the fan page, Diva Days Are Live. You can just like us over there. And you can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. So, like I said, if you're litigious and...
litigiously minded.
if you're litigious, you're going to get plenty of material, probably. So, let's not forget the half guys. It's 15 minutes into the show, and we forgot that about the half guys, but they're not on Twitter. So that's kind of their fault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Oh, and Bob turned me on to a new person to follow. Oh, my gosh. The person's hilarious. Oh, it's at Relocatable, R-E-L-O-C-A-T-A-B-L-E. I mean, I was, like, crying.
What is it again, Carrie?
At Relocatable, R-E-L-O-C-A-T-A-B-L-E. And, oh, my gosh, I've been laughing my head off. I mean, I was crying. It was so funny. And
what's Bob's Twitter account, Amy's Twitter account then?
Yeah, it's at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka, and Amy with a Y. So you could follow them. And I interviewed Blake Barris again this week.
Make
sure that got out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Blake's cool. So, and we ended up talking about working at restaurants. So, I said, is Nick going to get a real job? And he's like, yes, there's some job offers. So I'm like, oh, yeah, thank goodness. I've worked in a restaurant before. You have no idea how bad you stink until you've worked in a restaurant. You smell like food and, cigarette smoke and everything else.
Yeah.
So, it's the worst. But so we talked about that. You know how it is, though, with these 10-minute interviews? They really don't – that's, like, most of the only spoiler we got from him. He said Nick's probably going to get a better job. That's about it. He was happy with the scenes with Molly Burnett. He did mention the scenes with Lisa Rinna are coming up soon. I think he did see his scenes with Lauren, too.
Oh, she's still there.
Yeah. So,
good. Because I know, because he and Billy slept together, so that should be interesting.
Oh, yes, yeah. I forgot about that. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I asked him.
I remember,
Yeah, so I asked him, did that get brought up when he had that scene with Billy? And I guess he's trying to keep it a secret from Gabby, something along those lines.
Oh, okay.
So,
and he does have scenes, and you said he does have scenes with Lauren coming up?
He mentioned he has scenes with Lauren. And one of our Twitter followers, I try to always ask the fans on Twitter, for questions, because sometimes they come up with stuff that wouldn't even cross my mind. And they're really good. And one was who hasn't he worked with yet? And he said James Scott. And I feel bad for James Scott because almost every actor says that. And it's like James is just on this island somewhere where he only interacts with Allison and Galen.
Mm-hmm.
And, once in a while he crosses paths with Lauren or Lisa Rinna. But I feel like they are kind of pigeonholing EJ that he's only associating with a couple people. I mean, he's living around Nicole and she's pregnant with his child.
Say I really enjoy his scenes with I used to like EJ, Kate and EJ. And
right.
I really liked their scenes the first of the week. They were so cute sitting on that bench outside the shop in the town square. I just love them together because, Lauren and James really like each other. They're really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cute when they're together in a scene. There's always that underlying Kate, since Kate and EJ have that history. And it reminds me of the chemistry they did have. And then also it reminds me of the witty repartee that they used to share,
mm-hmm.
And they still do from time to time. But that's a part of EJ that I really miss when we don't see that for a while. It's really, I really miss that because he was so funny and so, such a smartass when he first came on the show. And he and Kate would just trade barbs and stuff, and I just loved that, you know. So I love it whenever that's allowed to come out, you know. So I enjoyed those scenes. He's like, oh, could you come go and annoy someone else, you know. And she, you know, the last time I saw you, you wanted me thrown away in jail, you know, put in jail for life or whatever, you know. But they're cute. I like them. I like them together. So, I mean, it's just fun to watch their scenes no matter what's going on, you know. So, so I'll put that pitch in there.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. Angela, I see you on there on hold. We'll get you in a few minutes. I'm trying to get through a few more topics. But, yeah, so, Blake, when it's work with James, he just said they just pass each other in the hallway and say hi.
Oh.
So, yeah, so you can find that here on Blog Talk Radio. It's a featured show. Or you can find it in the archives. And there's also links to it. And it's embedded in the blog, too, so you can always find it there.
Cool.
So, yeah, so Blake's really cool. And plus, he has two independent movies are done, and it sounds like Meth Head is moving along pretty good.
Good.
So it sounds like that one might find a distributor. And then I saw another interview he did. I guess he's filming another movie soon. So
yeah, he's really talented.
Pretty busy.
He's a very talented actor. He really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's talk about the Nicole spoiler. So we don't get our venting out there, and then we'll bring on Angela. So the spoiler came out, and I was feeling ill because I am a Nicole fan. I've had to suffer through this awful storyline with Nicole and Daniel and Nicole and Race, and she seems so out of character and so pathetic. And I mean, she's always been kind of pathetic and needy, but neither of these guys were into her. And somehow she fell for Daniel, even though I don't even think they've had sex for a month or two. And he kind of told her the other day he's not that into her. So, anyway, I have the video promo for this week's show up on the blog, too. But Nicole, according to the spoilers as they're written, Nicole goes to a substitute OBGYN who performs a ultrasound and tells her that she can't find the heartbeat and the baby's dead. So there, you have like two trains of thoughts. One is Tomlin's an asshole, and he killed Cole's baby on purpose to create angst between Daniel and Jennifer, because Jennifer fights with Nicole very publicly in the Horton Town Square before Nicole's baby stops living. So that's, you know, the one train of thought, that this is just a bump in the road for Danifer. And, you know, why kill off a baby and then, you know.
Jennifer
and Dan are broken up for, what, 2 minutes and they go back together again. It's not really.
There's no reason to kill the baby, really.
No.
I don't see.
And there's
I think
more
it would make
more
story. Yeah.
Exactly.
There's more conflict with a baby. But EJ's, who thinks it's Rafe, who. Like, she wants Daniel to be the father. It's like, there's a lot of angles there. The baby lives.
Yeah, there's a lot more possibilities with the baby and the baby being EJ's. Of course, there's always a custody battle, blah, blah, blah. And then Sammy's going to have to deal with finding out that Ray basically lied for 9 months and it never was his baby. And then Daniel has to deal with he switched the test results and he could lose his job. So that was made a better storyline than Nicole loses another baby at about 8 months pregnant to make Jennifer look bad. I mean, for nobody even likes Jennifer and Daniel's couple. I mean, there might be two people, but for the most part, no one likes this couple. They're kind of chemistry-less. It actually might be one of the worst Daniel pairings in a while, but it just makes no sense. And then the other wishful thinking theory is that since Stefano comes back in another week and Kristen comes back 2 weeks from now, that this is a Demira plot, that the baby's not dead, and the baby gets removed and Kristen ends up raising it. And it's EJ's child, so Kristen will be raising her nephew and Stefano's grandson. So
Kristen would raise it? That doesn't make sense.
It's going to be Krista. But she can come in town with a baby, and no one would question her, really. Even though she's probably, you know, I think she's close to 50 now. She's, you know, a little old to be having a baby.
Kristen is not EJ. Well, I see what you're saying. She's civil.
Unless Susan is coming back, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Susan come back,
oh,
too.
Oh, joy.
If Susan could raise it,
well,
yeah, it would
I mean,
be his,
now,
her grandson.
I could deal with a Zemira plot. I could deal with that if it ended up being that.
That she had, that the baby's
alive.
You know,
we had all these high hopes that Nicole's other baby was alive somewhere, and it never
came to fruition.
So
I'm just really
going to be – I mean, I could see the Zemira's like, okay, the baby's viable, put her under, mm-hmm. she thinks she's having – you know, whatever they call it at that point, if the baby's dead. But
DNC,
DNC. They think that's what's going on, and while she's out, you know, the baby's actually born alive, and, you know, mm-hmm. that would be a good story. I got to give them credit. That would be good. And it would kind of be a little bit of justice, too, because she deprived Sammy of her baby for so long, you know, so I mm-hmm. that kind of, I could kind of go with that. That would make for a really good story. Now, are these writers mm-hmm. capable of that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they've killed off
fans
every
are
other
always
remnant.
More capable than
they've
the writers.
They've killed off every other remnant of or sign of Mardar's writing, so it's like, mm-hmm. is this just another thing they're going to kill? You know, literally?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, what's the deal with Days killing off all the children? I mean, this you thought after Zach, okay, well, they're not going to pull that again. But I guess the ratings were really good, so then turn around and kill off Grace. And then Nicole, this would be her second, in the last trimester miscarriage.
Well, and the cynical part of me is also saying, okay, are they doing this so that she can start, you know, her affair with Eric Brady when he comes back and doesn't want to, you know,
there's no
she
baby.
Won't have to be encumbered with a baby? You know, that pisses me off, mm-hmm. thinking about that.
Yeah, that's
know.
The new writers bringing him back. So, yeah, it's all their stories now. So they're ending.
So
the
are they just trying to get rid of any remnant of Nicole, or will they really, you know, dive into this and make it a good story? Because that would be a good story.
Not.
And that would I would watch that. You know, that could be cool. I like that idea. And you said fans are writing about that on boards and stuff, or like,
People are furious.
Oh,
yeah,
when somebody texted me that mm-hmm. that the baby dies, I like almost cried. I was so mad. I'm still mad about it. If it really are just killing it off, I'm furious about it. I mean, it just
And then they'll turn around and probably make Sammy pregnant again.
Oh, okay, God.
You know, it just keeps happening. That's what's going to happen.
Sammy,
she's going to have a safe baby sooner or later.
Right.
I keep thinking, yep,
well,
Colin's going
to
want
to
go there.
Exactly. Well, I go back to that conversation Marlena and Sammy had at the beginning of the week where she says, Sammy, that sounds a little hypocritical and selfish. Remember, I was like, you pretty much described Sammy. But she was moaning over the whole, like, oh, I'm going to have to put up with Nicole's icky spawn, you know, the rest of my life kind of thing if Rafe and I get back together, you know. And Marlena was trying to point out to her that, you know, it goes in the reverse too, hello, you know. But
I know, the thing is, though, too, if that was Cherry saying that, you know, Marlena would never would have called her a hypocrite. So,
right.
I mean, that kind
of
bugs me.
I know,
because,
I know.
I mean, she encouraged Cherry
funny,
to leave her husband while pregnant with his child, something that she's wanted for 20 years to be with her lover boy, who was her sister's husband.
Right.
So,
you
know.
Exactly.
So I'm at the point now, I think Marlena just needs to shut the hell up when it comes to Sammy.
I pretty much say that all the time.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not looking forward to the Kristen Demira show coming up. I mean, no offense to the actor, but you know that Tomlin, because as his MO and some of these other writers' MO is that, you know, when we bring a new character back or a new character on or a returning character back, unless it's somebody we really want to watch, like Tony and Anna DeMira, we have them on all the time. You know, like when they brought Tony and Anna DeMira, we had to, like, scrape for every minute and every kiss and every scene that we got, you know.
Yeah,
but,
it was once a month for them. Yeah.
Yeah, like, but with these, and then they suddenly, like, she goes up for a bath and never comes down, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we got shit treatment on that. But, like, you just know with Kristen, she's going to be on all the time between her and Susan Banks.
Yeah.
So, I'm bitter.
Yeah.
It's like, well, seriously, it's like that's how they do it. They don't know how to have balance, you know. So.
No. Well, we've been complaining about balance for, what, 10 years now? I mean, they're never going to figure it out. It's not going to happen.
You're right.
Does anybody have anything else to say about Nicole before I bring on Angela? I want to make sure we got their complaints out.
If we can summarize it by saying we're all pissed.
Yeah,
it's no surprise. I mean, it's infuriating, but it's no surprise. It's like kind of is in the back of my mind when Tomlin come on that they're going to do. You know, it's always are they going to do this again? So it's like upsetting, but it's like no surprise.
Yeah. I just thought Nicole made it out of the days after alive. With the baby.
Right.
Then,
yes,
I thought
that's
she was
what she should have lost it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was in the clear. But no, they just kept her hanging on to break up Jennifer and Daniel, who aren't even together.
And who we don't care about.
Yeah, they're not together. Every time Jennifer and Daniel are together, they're fighting. And Jennifer's been such a witch lately. She's kind of she is snapping at everybody. I know Nicole's being fake about to Abby, saying she's concerned about Jennifer. But Jennifer Jennifer really is off balance right now. And
she has a reason to be with Jack just dying, but still, that's the thing that's frustrating.
She's not
about
the grieving
for
widow
Jennifer.
For sure.
Well, that's the thing that's hard about Jennifer is like, okay, I can understand her being on edge, and I can understand her being irritable, and I can understand her being depressed and sad and all these other things, but I can't understand her already plotting to save Daniel and all this other garbage when she's got, you know, kids that just lost their father. She just lost the love of her life. I mean, really, you can't even tell, you know? It's like, I don't know. It's annoying. And they're dressing her in draperies again from the 80s, so it's just really annoying, too.
I just said Jennifer's hair looked kind of cute lately.
Yeah,
now she's starting to like the braids. Or, you know, as long as they don't have it too tight, she looks like a nun. But when it's a little looser, I think it looks nice. So okay, well, let me get my screen. I want to bring on Angela and see what she has to say. Because I know she's. We were tweeting a lot this week about Nicole. Angela, is that you?
It is. How are y'all doing?
Hey, Angela.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi, Angela.
Hey. Yeah, I was certainly one of the ones that are very upset over the Nicole baby story. And, the thing that I kept thinking about all week, and I think I've tweeted about this too, is why did we even have the days after? You know, what truly happened other than Jack was killed? But they don't even bring that up. You know, when they talk about Gabby being, you know, responsible and all this kind of stuff this past week, and they list out all the horrible things that have happened because of the explosion, nobody says, and by the way, you know, Abby's father, Jack, was killed. So, I don't know. To me, the fact that they didn't kill the baby, well, first of all, because I hate to even say those words, I wish that the whole storyline had never started with Nicole. I will say that. But, you know, I think they should have just not done a miscarriage story, period. I mean, no more dead babies. No more naming the baby 2 weeks ago. Why would you name a child and then say, oh, by the way, then we're going to kill the child. The whole thing is sick.
How many times does Rafe get somebody as a kid named after Rafe? That's annoying too.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's a kiss of death.
The whole thing. So you know, one other flashback this week that I thought about. My mom passed away in 2009, and but one of the things that just annoyed her. She had some health problems the last few years of her life, and so she was home a lot watching the shows. And she even watched a little bit of Passions, I never saw Passions. And Mother saw it, didn't like it, but occasionally she would bring up how much she disliked the show. And I said, well, you must be watching some of it to be able to say you dislike it. And we laughed. And then when Rafe appeared on Dave, she says, oh, no, there's that guy from Passions. And she would get so upset, and then she would laugh, and she said, well, the only good thing that we know about this guy is that this FBI guy is that he's very clean, because he's twice a day he's going into that bathroom to take a shower, and he comes back out in a towel. So
that's funny.
And he did on Friday, too. To
yeah,
answer the door.
A week,
Sammy.
A mom in heaven, because like I said, it was so ridiculous. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where they're going. You know, I've really been very supportive since the beginning of them naming Tomlin, and I don't even know what to say. Like I said, it is bewildering to me to watch the show, listen to the show, whatever. I just feel like they have to know. That's what I can't understand. They could not be in such a bubble with Sony and NBC and Corday and all that they have gone through and not know that people are unhappy. And when the ratings are dropping, like,
especially with the social network now, they have to know.
Yeah, it's got to be saying this, what's going on. So, like I said, I'm baffled. You know, I started thinking about, I don't know if y'all ever saw the movie Soap Dish.
A year ago, yeah.
And, they talk so much in shows, had just hysterical characters. You know, Whoopi Goldberg was in it, and, you know, just these ridiculous storylines. And when they would get fed up with an actor or wanted to try to, you know, really get rid of that person, they would give them really crappy storylines, or they would put them in the corner. And, I mean, that's been true of soap operas forever. If you read any of these, you know, tell-alls after these shows end, and they tell the story of so-and-so, you know, who fell out with the powers that be, then they wanted him to, you know, they wanted that character to not be popular.
Right.
They would put him in a ridiculous storyline because people would get so sick of seeing it. And, I love EJ, and I'm not going to ever get sick of James Scott. I mean, they can put him on there reading the phone book, as we've all talked about, and I'd watch it and be pleased with it. But I think that it just is ridiculous. Like I said, I think it does. I think they're trying to turn people off from being so focused on EJ and Sammy and Ray. But, you know, so they're just, you know, giving us exactly what people do not want to see, so that you'll just get disgusted and say, I don't even want to watch it anymore. And
yeah,
that
really
part.
Makes a lot of sense, though, right? You know, your marquee player that most people tune in to
watch.
It makes, like,
none of it makes any sense.
So frustrating.
I'm just coming up with hypotheses.
No, I know.
What
yeah.
heck could be going on. But I think that the other thing is that I do see. And I like Greg Vaughn. I've been real excited. Mm-hmm. I've wanted Greg Vaughn to come on as Eric Brady for 2 years. So I absolutely am very positive about him coming on the show, and I'm hoping that they're going to really write some good stories around he and Nicole and maybe Brady and, you know, and then obviously you see he's interacting with a lot of people on the show because you can tell from his tweets. And I think that is also I'm not saying it's a sign, but I think it's something to be cognizant of. Is that, you know, we don't see EJ interacting with a whole lot of people. But, you know, we've got, you know, another really hunky guy that's coming on the show who's going to be a really good guy. You know,
I think they're marginalizing his character and essentially kind of benching him a little bit. I mean, I just don't see him being real, I don't know, it's going to be about Sammy and Rafe again, and
I am a huge James Scott fan, I want to see EJ and Sammy because I think it would be a great story, and I think people would tune in to watch it. And
I
really do feel like a little bit that the character of EJ is being, like you said, marginalized is a good word, and you know, and you've got a new Demira coming in that, like you said, with Kristen, and there's obviously going to be some other, you know, side storyline with she and Marlena and John, which, again, I'm not real excited about that story myself. But again, I haven't seen it yet. So, you know, I wasn't, you know, there's been other storylines that I've heard about that I wasn't excited about. And then once they put it on the air, it was good. So you never know. But I'm just almost watching it to see, you know, the things that I can watch right now that, you know, why would you be doing some of this? I mean, one of my Twitter friends said tonight, and I had not even noticed this, that, you know, they had switched some of the pictures around in Sammy's apartment so that now there's pictures of Rafe and she and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Versus that they had pictures of, you know, she and the kids and EJ a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's just silly. I don't understand that they're gonna. I'm just gonna continue to watch it. I guess with a little bit of skepticism to see how this thing is gonna shake out. To me, what y'all talked about earlier, the Melanie goodbye. That's ridiculous. I mean, here Peter Reckel has got less than a month left on that show. We've hardly seen him, and he has been on the show for 30 years. Hope and Bo were kind of the Tom and Alice of the 80s, and not just the 80s, but, you know,
Bo and Hope are the most identifiable people on that show at this point in terms of history, in terms of people that you run into that are like, oh, you watch Days 2? Oh, wow, yeah, Bo and Hope, yeah, you know, oh, from the 80s, you know. I mean, it's bad enough that he's leaving because we're losing somebody that's like a, you know, legacy character and everything, but it's like, that's a very good point. If it was you or your friend or whatever that was talking, it's like, that's ridiculous. That's a good point. You know, nothing against Melanie or Molly Burnett, but she's had a 4-month goodbye story, you know, and Peter Reckel gets, oh, I need to find myself. I need to switch careers, you know? Okay.
Yeah, I hope that the send off for Bo is going to be better than it appears to be, but it really irritated me a lot to see 4 months of, and again, I'm not, no offense to Molly Burnett, I don't know Molly Burnett. Melanie character's not been my favorite character, but it doesn't matter. I just think 4 months of this, you know, and part of it has been because we knew she was leaving 4 months ago. You know, not necessarily on the show did we know that. If you were just watching just strictly the show from a general audience perspective. But this whole past week of just the whining and the crying and the angst and all this kind of stuff, I don't know. I guess I'm getting too impatient in my old age, but I'm thinking that when these people decide that they're not going to renew their contracts and everything, is that the sooner that they can go ahead and write them out of the story, probably the better. And unless you're somebody like a Peter Reckel or you're an iconic character with the show, then in which case, you know, you need to build a good story and, you know, one that people are going to remember and that type of thing. And I just feel like it's just been really slanted that. So that part I don't really get. I also think coming back to try to make Chad the complicated character, I saw that tape, and I don't know. I guess we'll see. I just think it's kind of like the marginalization of EJ. I'm going to take your word, Anna, because I like what you said. I don't know. I haven't watched the Melanie scenes. Melanie, Gabby. Yeah, I like Blake Barris and like the character of Nick. And I'm hoping, like I said, I've seen some of what's been going on. But you know, honestly, just to get involved in, I'm just not gonna get engaged in a whole lot of. Well, I can't. You know, Melanie's gone now, but I just haven't been watching the younger set. I really do sound old tonight. I'm only 47, so I feel like I'm 102. But I just haven't been watching it because that part just does not interest me. And also I wanted to ask y'all what you thought. We haven't really talked about Will and Sonny, and so there was emphasis on that. One of the things I thought that was, yeah, kind of interesting.
Lucas under the bus again on that storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice? Because now he's against it. And wasn't he more, like, understanding, and Sammy wasn't at the beginning?
Yes.
And now it's completely changed.
Tomlin.
Yep, because you can see that someone else is probably going to be on their way out, I'm thinking. I don't know. I hope not. Don't want it to be. But you can just see he's doing the same thing to Lucas again. You know.
It's a reversal of him. It's just not even explainable. I mean, there just isn't. It's just a total reversal of the character. And
right.
I know. Like I said, it's very disappointing. Like I said, I really feel like, you know, that he really had, you know,
I'm sure Brian has to be frustrated, too. I'm sure.
Well,
they brought him back for this.
Yeah, well, that's part of what he's trying. Yeah, I think he sounded very thankful the other day when he tweeted and he said, you know, I'm going to be, you know, working for the next 2 days. Clearly they haven't been using him a lot, and then plus if they put him in situations like this and just, you know, you just have to wonder who is this character, you know, because, or what does he stand for? And, you know, I don't know.
I guess they had to make one of the parents against it. Well, why can't they just make them all four of them for, you know, and be supportive?
I don't know. I think remember Greg Ming. I still kind of wonder what Greg Ming's role is now on the show behind the scenes. And, you know, because he had, you know,
I don't think much of anything.
I think you're exactly right. Because, you know, he came out.
It's like a figurehead or puppet or something.
After Mardar was dismissed, and he said, you know, people are not going to tune in to watch, you know, I hate to say gay storyline, but, you know, that type of storyline as an A story on the show. And he says, you know, they may watch it, they may think it's, you know, it's socially relevant and it's, you know, an important part, but it's never going to be a lead story. But, I'm not so sure that that's not what they're doing, too, right now. I just can't. It is really so random. It almost just appears so random to me right now what they're doing with so many of the stories. And the only way to do it is just to kind of wait it out and see what they come up with. I think they have a good set of writers. I really do. And put Tomlin aside, whatever. I think Chris Whitefall, I think the Culletons, I think Lorraine Broderick, the Melissa Salmon, who they brought in from, I think, As the World Turns, who had worked with all these other same people, the people that they had brought back from some of the writing staff from, you know, like 3-4 years ago. You know, a lot of those people all worked on Another World. There's somebody that worked on Guiding Light. I can't remember who that was now. But these are talented writers. I don't think, you know, some people are concerned about the dialogue day to day. To me, the dialogue is much better than it was under Mardar. I guess I might get sued too now. I've said more than if what's his name can get sued, I guess I can too. But I think that the dialogue hasn't been all that bad. But I think that the overall stories, I don't know where they're going, and you know, and that's not a good thing. I just don't understand it. And I hope now. I was really excited about Nadia Bjorlund coming back. Not to take anything away. The character of Chloe is not, you know, a lead character on the show, but I think that she had a fan base, a significant fan base, and there's some good things they could do with the character. Shoot, I'm kind of worried about what in the world they're going to be doing with her when she comes back.
Mm-hmm. Sean Christian hinted that he's going to have a quad with Jennifer Nicole Ann. Is that Jennifer Nicole and Chloe might all be chasing after him?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess we'll just have to see. I don't even know what to say to that. But I like I said, I think it's going to be interesting. I hope they do not negate what they did with Phil and the Will story, because the Will story was really well written, and it was really a good story, and I hate to see them ruin it now. That's all I've got, folks. Sorry.
Well, I'm sorry, I missed that.
I was just saying, that was just all I, those were all my thoughts. I didn't really have anything else.
Oh, did you hear about the whole Marlene thing? We talked about the show.
I'm sorry, the Marlene thing, you mean the Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had heard, I didn't see any of it, but I think, y'all were saying earlier, I just think that was a call for some attention so that she wasn't going to get blamed for whatever's being written now, which is kind of, which is kind of sad, too, that, everybody's running from the story so that they don't get their name associated with it. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, she's not, I don't know how anybody would sue anybody off of Twitter. I think it was, like y'all said, I think it's just a call for attention. I'm not really excited about any writers, past or present, that are, I like the ones that are present to talk about things. On another show on ABC, I'm not going to get involved in plugging that show, but, their writer was on Twitter tonight, and is very interactive stuff. And we never see that on Days. We never see that on Days. I said earlier this week too. I said, well, why don't they put Tomlin and a couple of these actors that let's have Gay on since he's one of the lead actors now in the show. Have him live tweet during the show. It would be embarrassing.
It's so funny. Nicole had this one line this week, and I can't remember exactly what it was. I was going to try to remember it, but she said something like, "That was the longest stare I've ever seen," or something like that. And I was like, when she told Rafe what she had done, was setting doing the fake picture of her and him in bed, and she said something like, "That's the longest stare I've ever seen," or something like that. It was the look that he gave her, and I was like, Welcome to Rafe's emotional range. I was surprised he wasn't saying, wait, I was emoting. You couldn't tell? I think we try to be eternal optimists, but it's Dave makes it awfully hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I was trying to think really hard before I called in tonight. What positive things I could say, and I know I haven't said anything positive, so I apologize.
Hey, I'm happy. One thing I am happy about is Maxine is back. I've always liked her, and she was gone when Tomlin was gone. She disappeared, so,
Who?
Maxine at the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Maxine.
That's
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's been back since Tomlin's been back, so he obviously brought her back, but
they're going to use
we need some Justin. Humor. We definitely need some humor. And it's like...
Yeah, there is none. There's no fun character. Remember, like, Eugene and Calliope back in the 80s? Nothing funny and quirky.
Or even
quirky.
Tony and Anna could be really funny. I mean,
Anna was always kind of funny.
They
could be funny. Mm-hmm.
Well, they, when they do have Victor on,
Bonnie was funny.
Did we have any more?
Barney and Marsh together.
For Sarah, Dreamer of Six benefit, was Magic on at all this week? I know Maggie was on a lot. But...
Maggie's been on.
Oh, yeah.
But,
not Victor.
I don't think Magic.
Yeah.
No Victor.
Mm-hmm. I will give
Tomlin credit for that, too, that when he came back, Victor showed back up with some humor again, so that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things that I'll credit Tomlin with, but it's just frustrating when we're like, we know we're married to this story for the next 4 months, it's just like, geez.
Yeah, I had was excited about trying to have EJ and interact some. You know, EJ needs some friends or needs to interact with someone, and they did. They have done that, and I did like the Howard character this week. You know, these are often little side characters that are not even supposed to be really central to the show that we're all excited about. But I liked Howard, the little guy, the mobster guy that was talking to EJ, and he was saying that people lined up to kill Rafe, that would like to kill Rafe, and I thought, you know, that's the truth.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that was a great answer when they said, oh, there's so many people lined up that would want that job. Yeah, every fan
like,
out there.
They're all standing outside City Walk
That was a great, that was a good line. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the writers do know. They do know.
Yeah.
They,
I wonder if that was a
coolest kind of like a slap in the face.
Was a Coolidge script that day, because he always manages to stick a few little jabs in of things that the audience has thought of, you know, that they feel that, you know, it's kind of funny. But,
That was good.
Just think about it. You know, you've got the Culletons, you've got Lorraine Broderick, you've got some of these people that were really, you know, excellent writers during the heyday of Guiding Light or As the World Turns. They have got good talent behind that show.
Sure.
I mean, that's the thing that just is baffling to me. And is, you know, how can, you know, we get these little snippet things, but there's just the big story is where the show is, you know, where are you taking the characters?
Well, like what we were talking about earlier, what Carrie was saying about what fans are talking about, like if they went the route of, you know, Nicole's baby really is alive, you know, that would be a good, I could actually get excited about that story. But if they're just going to kill it off and it doesn't go anywhere, I'm going to be furious, and they're going to hear about it on Twitter.
I have nothing but vent about that all week. I know Carrie and I've talked about it some on Twitter. I cannot even think of anything now that would please me to deal with. I don't think there's anything they can do now that I'm going to be pleased with having to do with the baby. I just don't. It's just gone on too long. My best solution a long time ago was for her to give it up for adoption. You know, years ago, you know, many, many years ago, when I was a little girl, a big story on the show, you know, was when Susan Martin and Julie and all these people, you know, and they gave up children for adoption and then tried to get them back and all this kind of stuff. Even that would be better to me than to have another one of these who's the daddy, pretend I'm pregnant or pretend I'm not pregnant and then say somebody isn't the father and then find somebody else out of the blue sky and make them say that they're, you know, that they're really the father. Yeah, they've just done it so much. We've been listening to, we've had this now going on since 2008, 4 years of that. So just a different story. You know, it's disappointing. I think I hope as well that they do. I think Ariane Zucker is a fantastic actress, and she's really has, you know, she's kind of grown up on the show as far as, you know, she's been on there a good while, and, you know, she was, a less experienced actress when she came on the show, and I think she's one of the strongest ones they have now.
Yeah.
And I hope that things do, that they give her a great story and that, you know, that they just put this baby story behind them now. That's my only hope, is that it just, you know, they resolve it, and then it's not supposed to.
Oh, see, and I don't want it resolved. I want her to have the baby. I want it to end up being alive. So it's just, that's the only thing
that's gonna. You know, don't get me wrong. I don't want any babies to die at all.
No, that's the only thing that will save this whole thing for me. Otherwise, I'm just so furious about it. I know it's a fictional character and a fictional show and a fictional town in Salem, USA, but still, you know, the audience has invested in that story, in that baby, for a while now. And, you know, any of us who love Nicole, like, we really do. She's such a good actress, you know, Ari's such a good actress, and we really have invested in the character being excited about this baby and everything. And, you know, the fact that it was so torturous the last time, I thought, surely you're not going to do that to this character again, you know, or to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that
mm-hmm.
was just torturous. And so here we are, years later.
Well, here, you know, one of the things, my other things is that, you know, I miss really, you know, we saw Brady a little bit this week. But think about, you know, we could have had 2 to 3 fabulous months of Brady and Nicole, Brady at least being her best friend and someone that she could talk to versus, you know, this sleazy relationship that they've driven, you know, they've drawn up out of blue sky for
Daniel.
Daniel. I mean, I just don't understand. You know, they have, that story, you know, Nicole and Brady have history. There could have been, you know, just so much for that. And then we would have, and Eric Martsoff would, again, have had a decent storyline and not been, you know, the person kind of pulled in to prop up
right.
sort of the youth group, I mean, which is kind of what it's been recently. So I don't know. I hope that it's a better story. And like I said, I'm not sure what they could do now that would please me about the baby, period. That ship has sailed for me. I just think hopefully they do have some miracle story that, you know, that will be good. But who knows? Like I said, I think, you know, when they say, you know, we look back at 2008 when we ended up with Sammy and Nicole pregnant, you know, I don't think, wasn't really the way it was originally supposed to have been written anyway, wasn't it? Because they were saying that Allison Sweeney had wanted her pregnancy written into the story. And that's how they wound up. That's how that the whole baby switch thing got started to begin with. It wasn't that whole story was planned out. It was kind of that, you know, they already had part of the story, and then they decided that, oh, well, we'll write, you know, Allison Sweeney's pregnancy into the show. And that's how, and now we've had 4 years of, you know, continuing, the tale of babies.
Well, then it ended up being one hell of an umbrella story, and I got to give them credit. Even though the day to day was boring as hell at times, with the redundant writing and everything, and the repetitive dialogue, which I'm now seeing again, by the way, now that Tomlin's back, I'm noticing that more again. I'm not saying it's his fault, but it just seems to be interesting that all of a sudden we're having flashbacks from the day before again. You know, like, okay, yeah, anyone who's tuned in for 5 minutes this week knows that Nicole doctored the damn pictures, you know? I mean, come on, you know? And so we've got to see that flashback 4 times, you know? It's like, come on. So, but I will say this, the baby switch ended up being one hell of an umbrella story, and it did.
Yeah.
You know, they kept giving it life. They kept breathing life into it, and I have to admit, if you really went back and flowcharted it like some, you know, dork like me would do, or something, if I was really, like, wanted to do that, you know. But, I, you know, you could really see what a great story it turned out to be in a lot of ways.
Well, and they stripped a lot of that to Chris Weitzel doing that. So,
well, that's great, you know, and if he could do that again, you know, wonderful, you know. It's just, that's why that would save it for me if we found out that was going to be their end game, you know. Then I could sort of live with the whole her temporarily losing the baby kind of thing, but if they're just going to kill it for the sake of having her have a love story with, you know, Eric Brady or something, that's just going to piss me off. Although I am looking forward to Greg Vaughn. I mean, don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
I just, yeah, so anyway.
Well, you think about it. All these guys are panting after Sammy, and none of them care. She has 4 children. And
yeah.
She was a teenage mom. And you've
right.
got heinous crimes in the past, you know, and she's fickle, and she's had at least 5 guys that she was madly in love with, and she's only in her late 30s. So
yeah.
I don't see how Nicole having one baby,
I know,
you know, makes her not a catch anymore when she looks
yeah.
like a supermodel. So I really
it's
don't
ridiculous.
Get that. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, like
seriously,
the
like there's
pregnancy
there's,
look ever. I love
yeah,
her out. I love what she's doing right now.
Yeah, with that saying, oh, that women aren't desirable if they have a kid. Really? You see that
yeah.
all the divorced
well, I mean,
women and all the single moms.
I mean, that's just my impression of what's happening if they know that she's going to be having this relationship with Eric Brady. It's like, that's the only reason, other than them just cleansing themselves of anything related to Mardar, That's the only thing I think
it's more to bring Jennifer Emanuel back,
too. I would much rather have had a November sweep story with her giving birth to an actual child, and then there continuing to be angst ensues afterwards with all the baby daddies and all that. Fine. I mean, not that I want the who's the daddy story again, but just, you know, there's a lot of complications there that could ensue. But I'm just so mad. I just feel like we got the rug pulled out from under us. So anyway, we'll see. I mean, that's the only thing kind of giving me hope right now is that that would be kind of cool if EJ did arrange to actually have the baby born, you know, alive with her, you know, being put under or something. That would be classic soap. And even though it would make EJ a villain again, he's ultimately doing it for the right reasons.
You could see EJ doing that. That's something he would do.
So having his child be raised by him and stuff like that, you know. But who knows? I don't know. I mean, I just think there'd be too much of an obvious coincidence of all of a sudden there's this baby boy that's exactly the same age as Nicole being raised in the Demira mansion, you know, no matter who's claiming it's theirs, you know. That would be too obvious, but, you know, I don't know. Who knows, but I don't know. That's just a bummer. But.
Okay, what else is going on? Did we talk about Adrian called Lucas a bigot behind his back? Have we discussed that yet?
No.
Yeah, so... Lucas sees Will and Sonny kissing, and he's obviously uncomfortable with it. And then he talked to Sammy, and Sammy basically told him that he needed to get over it real quick. And then Sammy told him about the fight she had with Adrian over Will and Sonny. And so the idea pops in Lucas's head maybe that he talks to Adrian, maybe Adrian could maybe help break up Will, and that's what I thought that was kind of going. And I think Lucas just kind of panicked. And then Adrian's, I don't know why, they were fighting in the coffee house, which didn't make any sense, as Sonny works there. So they went to the more private spot of the Horton Town Square so they can argue in front of Will. So, you know. And Adrian's being a snot and saying, oh, we could be in law someday, which is, you know, when she was totally against Will and Sonny just a week ago, because she didn't think Lucas
and
Sammy were.
She's been a 180, yeah.
She didn't think Lucas and Sammy were good enough to be members of her family. So, and then at Victor's place, and she said, oh, you're surprised of, I can't remember the line, but something surprised about how many bigots, you know, or how many bigots are, you know, close by. And she's talking about Lucas. And I just thought that was ridiculous. He just panicked, you know.
Yeah.
He saw something he probably never thought he'd ever see in his life.
Right. To be honest, it would. I mean, I can kind of understand it, you know, even though, you know, are you accepting of it? If you saw your son do that for the first time, yeah, it can be. He was just being honest, you know, which I think a lot of people would have the same feeling, you know.
Yeah, well, even
it doesn't mean he's accepting. It doesn't mean he's not accepting Will or he doesn't love Will. It's just that's just how he feels, and he's I guess he's entitled to his feelings too, you know.
Definitely. And this is all new to Lucas. Too,
right.
And I just thought, you know, Adrian should have been a bit more compassionate, saying, hey, you know, she would have said, hey, you know, I wasn't that comfortable, because, you know, Justin Adrian went to counseling to support groups when they found out about Sonny being gay,
yeah.
So obviously they weren't, you know, putting a rainbow flag up in front of their house when Sonny
came out.
So she's being a total hypocrite by bashing Lucas, who's just, because, I mean, look at, from Lucas's point of view, he thought his son was straight, you know, because Will's only been interested in women up until a few months ago. He was sub of Gabby, and he was after Mia. So, according to Lucas, he thought his son was straight. And I do think, though, the writers kind of have it the wrong way. I think maybe Sammy would have been the one who would have flipped out. But Sammy was the one who flipped out in the first place. But she said she blamed herself for Will being gay. And Lucas was the one who kind of snapped her back, to reality here. And it wasn't her fault or anything like that. And she shouldn't think of it that way. And, Will is who he is. And it has nothing to do with her. And so it made more sense that Sammy would have an issue with it. But I just thought that Adrian calling Lucas a bigot was uncalled for, and it didn't make much sense. He just panicked. But a lot of people are thinking that Tomlin's trying to trash Lucas because he never liked Lucas.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's making the character look bad, like he did before.
Because let's not get Brian left under Tomlin's rule the last time. So yeah.
Yeah, and Brian did trash Tomlin in the press too afterwards. And he was right because he was saying Tomlin basically was turning the show into passions. And it was a bit of a jab at Galen Gehring, too. But he was right because Tomlin's right. And it's still the passion show. It's still about Galen, even though Eric Martzoff is a little backburned right now. But it's still pretty much.
I don't think he's going to be.
He's not going to be following, probably not. Yeah. So it just seems to me he's trashing Lucas on purpose. To make people dislike him, but Lucas has been on the show for probably close to 20 years, I'm assuming now, and I don't see that. I mean, the character of T, I mean, even he made a turnaround and actually was responsible for getting Will and Sonny to he actually was the one who brought them back together, said, hey, you told Will that Sonny liked them. If he was such a big homophobe, he wouldn't, he would have kept his mouth shut, not said a word.
Yeah.
So why is it he got somewhat redeemed by bringing Will and Sonny together and making up with Sonny in particular after they punched each other out, and now Lucas is getting thrown under the bus?
Yeah. Let's hope that it turns around on that. Told Kate that he wasn't bothered, that he was okay with it. But, Carrie, I think you're right. I mean, and Marianne, too. It's it would be a little bit of a shock to your system the first time you saw your husband. I mean, honestly, anybody seeing their kids kiss anyone is probably a little awkward. I mean, let's face it. But, the first time when you've pictured your son as a heterosexual his whole life, and all of a sudden, okay, you've adjusted, you're okay, you've accepted, that he's not. And, that's fine. He's okay with it. But still walking in and seeing a kiss, that could be, it could be an adjustment for him. And that's something I'm sure a lot of people have experienced in their lives. And if they're going to show, if they're going to give a real portrayal of that, great, But to just all of a sudden he does a 180 and he's the ass and everybody's piling on to Lucas, that pisses me off, If it turns out to be a genuine out of concern and, and he's just adjusting to it, then fine. That could be part of the story. But it sounds to me like with Adrian, like you said, doing the 180, it's like, what? When she could take the opportunity to be like, look, I've been there before. I understand, it took our family a while, but, now we're fully, accepting and everything's cool and it'll get better and, whatever. You love your son, that's the important thing, blah, 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 whatever. But instead, she's piling on him. It's like, ugh. I don't know. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. I know. That's the thing. I had a hard time coming up with a list this week, but pretty much we're just doing nothing but bitching.
Basically, that's usually what we do. For years.
I said positive. Nicole looks adorable as a pregnant person. She looks adorable. She's got her regular figure, just a little baby bump. Let's see. Positive, Kate was rocking it this week. She looked awesome. Love Kate and EJ's scenes.
EJ's got something on Rafe,
That's good. Yeah, that's always nice.
Any scenes with EJ is good. I don't care.
Yeah. He was looking exceptionally nice this week. Yeah, that's about it. I like a couple of Sammy's outfits, not the one she went to, not the, the hoochie outfit she went to dinner with Rafe on and trying to turn him on, but because she had a couple of dresses this week that were real, I thought were real cute on her. So let's see. So, you know, we can go to wardrobe, I guess, if nothing else. And usually we can bash that too, but I don't know.
It's just good
and
brown.
Sammy and Rafe, Sammy and Rafe didn't actually sleep together, right? They just had a long kiss, right?
A kiss.
Okay. Oh, yeah, and then Rafe blew her off because he was all concerned about Gabby. Going to prison. Still, he didn't have to be a jackass towards Sam. He could say, hey, you know what? I guess I'm going big right now. I'll talk to you later.
Right.
He just kind of blew her off, like, Yeah, and then, of course, EJ swooped in and blackmailed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. No, I think EJ should just say, screw it. You know, Sammy doesn't want me. She wants Rafe. I'm moving on. You know, I'm a hot attorney with lots of money. I can find somebody else with an accent.
Who's running the city? Did I miss some episodes? I know he resigned. Who's running?
Who is the mayor? He never did appoint anybody a mayor. Abe didn't take it back, did he?
Another thing I liked about Mardar is I liked the fact that Abe and Lexi had a story and everything, and that, you know, I liked Jennifer and Nicole going up against each other as rivals with the campaign and all. I really enjoyed that stuff. So, you know, now all that's gone. But, yeah, now it's like, okay, all that hard-fought energy, you know, to win the campaign, and then he's resigned, and who the hell's running the town, you know? I don't know.
And Roman hasn't been around for a while either.
Oh, no, he isn't going to quit.
Oh, yeah, he's talking to Bo. Yeah.
Oh, and the thing is, too, if there's no mayor, then how are they cutting costs? Because usually that's a decision made by the mayor or the city council, depending on how your city is run.
Yeah.
So if you know how, have no merit, then how did your budget get cut that you have to lay off cops? You know? And then they can comment that, oh, the cops have taken pay cuts over the years. That's not really realistic. Even if you're a public service worker, you never have to take a pay cut. You know, so that kind of makes me laugh.
Some things
usually
going to be realistic, but you know.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what drives me nuts. It's like mayors do that all the time. Well, if we don't raise your taxes, we're firing the cops and the firefighters. It's like, really? There's no paper pushers, you know, in the office. You can't fire. You have to fire the cops and the fire department. That makes me so freaking mad because you know the paper pushers at City Hall are all the mayor's relatives. So I don't understand if that's what happens.
Maybe that's
where
Brandon's
I live.
Been. Maybe he's working at the city.
Yeah, and where I live, if you have a job in the government, it's because you're related to somebody. But those people never get laid off.
That's a lot of jobs.
That is a lot of jobs. Yeah, right.
That's our school districts here.
Yes. That's a public sector job, though.
School
district is public sector. And it's union.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to fire anybody. But it's this idea that these cops have been taking pay cuts for years is not realistic at all whatsoever. But, I mean, them threatening to fire people, that is realistic because every mayor kind of does that because they want to raise taxes. So we don't have a mayor. so that kind of cracks me up. But, and then Caroline, I know people are saying she has Alzheimer's, but she referred to Roman as Bo when she was talking to Bo.
Yes.
But in my family.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, but my family, that happens all
that
the time.
That happens.
I was growing
when you
up,
call the. Right.
Yeah. I call myself.
Or you get the hyphenated Roman Bo or Bo Roman.
Roman.
Or,
yeah.
You
know? Yeah, I do that all the time. My aunts and my grandmother, I was like the fifth granddaughter. I was called, seriously, I was called all these names in a row. Debbie, Denise, Diane, Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
Then they remember that. Yeah, I was called four different names before they figured out my name.
Yeah.
And nobody, my aunt.
I wonder if that was just an honest mistake by Peggy McKay in the script, and Bo just corrected her.
I don't know.
I thought maybe she just made the mistake and they just kind of let it. I don't know what that was all about. I don't know.
Yeah, but I could see
maybe Peggy just made a mistake.
Yeah, I could see that if she accidentally called Roman Josh or something, because that actually happens a lot on the soaps. You know, you accidentally
say the actor's name.
But I mean, in my family, it's normal to call someone by the wrong name.
They've been hinting at the Alzheimer's thing or whatever, and isn't Bo supposed to be going off doing something for his mom or helping his mom somehow or some crazy thing? Like, that's supposed to be his reason for leaving town or something?
But there are spoilers that there's something wrong with Caroline. So I did see that as a spoiler for about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, well, you can see there's a little bit of hint that, like, when she forgot the order, and Gabby said she just did it that morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so that was, I noticed that. So I don't know. There'll probably just be little things now that they'll show.
And, you know, and I'm in a way, too, that we're missing the office drama now. I mean, it's like now it's all, like, back to the restaurant,
back to the pub, back to the hospital, back to the coffee shop.
And it's like, you know, there for a while we had Kate in the office, we had Sammy in the office, we had, you know, Ian, and we had Brady and all that, you know, and it's like, now nobody has jobs again, and even Lucas was in the office with Sammy some. And so it's like now it's like we're back to hardly anybody working.
Yeah.
Well, even Rafe taking Sammy to the pub as a date. What the hell is
that?
That's
so lame.
Yeah.
Especially when
EJ had something really elaborate planned, you know, for their date, and she gets all dressed up, and he takes her to the pub. I mean, that should have been her clue right there.
He's a loser. Rafe's not that into her.
Sammy, EJ would have never taken her to the pub.
No.
He would have gotten the jet and taken her to Paris.
He probably wanted a comp meal.
Yeah.
And then he got up and talked to Daniel. He kind of dumped her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was good for him. But, yeah, it makes me nuts that Caroline slipped up one time, mixing up her son's names, and now she has Alzheimer's. And every woman who's had children has done that a million times.
Sure.
So, you know.
Oh, well.
Okay, what else do I have on the list? Anything else?
What?
Anything else? Anything we want to talk about?
No, I can't think of anything.
That's about it.
Hopefully next week will be better.
Well, we'll see the scene on Friday with Nicole and this doctor, and you know, I don't know. I want to see if it looks shady. Because I'm still in denial. I still think the baby's alive. But who knows? We'll see. So I guess we'll see next Saturday.
It happens next Friday?
Friday, yep. That's
already?
That's when she's told the baby's dead, Friday.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We'll see if it looks like a Demira plant or not.
Okay. Well, thanks, Angela, Marianne, and Anna for hosting tonight.
Okay.
And thanks, everybody in the chat room. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.